Well, that was personally requested by Robert Shaw, this intro, right up his alley. And it's great to have him as my first in-studio guest on Arvo's. Hello, Shorey.
Andrew, welcome to a reasonable hour of the day. Well done.
This is where the old blokes go to just push up Daisy, so to speak, from a radio perspective. I think it's very, very nice, though, Shorey, not having to respond to an alarm. And it means you can stay up a bit later the night before and have a look at stuff that was going on. And I know you, like most of us, and you're an Essendon man at the core. I know you've done... You're a Fitzroy man to the very soul when you're at that football club, and likewise at Adelaide. But you started at Essendon, and once you left Tassie, and you've always come back to the footy club. And I'm sure you, like everybody, has struggled since the Cas finding last Tuesday. We're not going to talk about the ins and outs of all of that, but I want to know from you how you feel this is all going to impact broadly on people at the footy club that you love and the footy club itself. Before we get into that, the Herd interview last night with Tracey Holmes, have you got a kind of nutshell sort of assessment of how that all went down?
Well, I have, because I made a point of watching it. You know, some people have said I'm not interested. Well, I'm interested in anything to do with my football club and the people and the personalities involved because of the reasons that you gave. So, but I was I didn't take to Twitter. I know it got a canning. I worked with James Herd for 8 years as assistant coach. I saw him captain, I saw him lead, and that's what people that are very, very pro Herd always remember him. The bloke, the game turner, the bloke that said to players, follow me. And at the same time, the players that supported him. So I've waited 3 years, basically, because he said to us and to me, by association, when I get my opportunity, I will talk. And the truth will come out, and the club will be in a better place, and I will be in a better place. I didn't get that from the interview. I was disappointed in the interview. There were questions that I hoped would be answered, because if they were questions and they were answered, I would have accepted the answers, but it didn't touch on the areas that as a person, a life member. I look at it from purely from Essendon, and I thank you for giving the opportunity. I've been a member since I was 17, and it means so much to me, that football club. And I needed answers, and I didn't get those answers. And I also look at it as you know, my daughter's Andy, 30 down to 25, yep. So they're the player's age. So I also look at this from a parental point of view, and the fact that the parents loan their sons to a football club, hopefully for 10 years, on the basis of looking after my son, developing my son. Some come from the Northern Territory, Queensland, West Australia. And there is an understanding that you will support my son, you will develop them, not only as a player and as a person, but above all, you'll look after them.
Sure, I've sat opposite a bloke for the last four years who has been tortured. He took a year off. He's been tortured by this. And I don't know whether he'll ever tell his very private man, Tim Watson, and he'll probably keep his own counsel, as he always has done, for much of his life. So I don't know whether he's ever going to open up. But I don't think I'm breaking any confidences when I say that he was tortured as a parent, like you've talked about, watching it do to his son what it's done. And I know that you were...
So it's different, Andy, and you're right, having played with Tim and saw him arrive at 15 at Dimboola, see, it's different to the legal argument. This is about people and supporting our people and being disappointed in our people and questioning why this happened. You know, I got photos of my children and Job's kids and Gary Folger's kids at functions and sitting Job on. So I look at it from, what have you done to this kid? What have you done the sons of Essendon, and why?
Has it... You've thought about this a lot, and you've given me some points that you wanted to get through throughout the course of this conversation. So we might go from one point to the next, and we'll get back to the important stuff. But to the thing that you're talking about right now, there's been a bit of instability at the Essendon Footy Club over the last decade in terms of senior figures at the club, presidents, CEOs, people cut coaches. How much do you think that has added to the environment that was created that allowed what happened to happen.
Well, you've been through it with your club. Melbourne Football Club have been through it. What happens is that our club in the last 10 years have had 6 presidents, 4 CEOs, 5 footy managers, 4 coaches, right? So what that leads to is a different group coming in with their own ideas. And what transpires there, Andy, and you've seen it at the Blues, is that you actually, it filters out your identity. Now, I'm not saying that Kevin Sheedy should have stayed.
Yep.
I'm not saying that at all. And I've said that to Kevin. You probably went a year too long or 2 years long. But you lose your identity and the next generation loses the focus on what your club is all about. Now, if you pick up a history book at the Essendon Football Club, you dislike Essendon because you barrack for Carlton. That's fine. That's great.
Exactly.
The rivalry is wonderful. But I tell you what, if you read the history of the Essendon Football Club and you picked up that book and you read the names that have made that club, and you go back to Reynolds and Hutchison and Coleman, and then you move into the modern era. We spoke about Tim. Talk about Simon Madden. The wonderful people that I met and taught me, Fraser, Clark, Eppis, McKenzie. And when I come into that footy club at 17, right, they adopted me, but they also taught me. And they showed me, okay, we mightn't always win. And there's a saying, you can't always have a great team, but you can always have a great club. And in that phase of the last 10 years with so many changes, Essendon has lost its ethos and its absolute soul of what it was all about. And I think that created the desperation, and I'll call it desperation, to get James Hurd into it as an untried, never coached, surrounded him with people like Mark Thompson, like Danny Corcoran, which on face value was putting an experienced coach in, putting an experienced administrator in. But there was... And we've learnt in the game that there is no shortcuts, right? Your club now is going back to Bolton.
Yep.
And let's give Bolton 5 years.
Yep.
Don't react to this because the journey must be long. So if you're going to fix what's happened at Essendon, who haven't won a final since 2004, then the process must be slow. But because Hurdy's a winner and has to win and has to lead, so his greatest strength becomes his greatest weakness.
Yeah.
Because he could fix something on a ground, as you saw, Hurd.
Yep, yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that's why people love him, because he changed the course.
Is it arrogance? Is it arrogance, Shorey? Is that what it is?
It's a great pride. Mm. And also, I must say that the players he played with, those 2,000, they would do anything for him. Yeah. They protected him.
The club would do anything for him.
Yeah.
That's why it allowed.
And that's why they allowed him the license, unfortunately, to press the envelope, to take risks, to look for shortcuts. And there's no doubt about that. And as the game knows, there are no shortcuts in it. So that's really disappointing, because there is a chapter now in our history that you can't rip out the pages, Andrew.
Nope, you can't.
They are there. And you can read right up to Tim Watson and Simon Madden and 84, 85 and that great 2000 side.
Yep.
And then you will get to a chapter that is the darkest in our history, and we can't do anything about it.
You were with a bunch of people last Tuesday night. I don't know how much of this you can tell us about, but...
Not a lot, but
Where were you? Who was there? And what was the prevailing attitude in that room like that you were part of?
Well, I'd listened to the verdict, and while not totally shocked at the guilt, totally devastated by the length of suspension, and I got a phone call last night from a member of the 2000 Premiership team that was there and said, can you come around? And I thought, I'll come around. I walked into a room, small room.
So this is last Tuesday night?
Yeah, straight after the verdict. Yep. And there were a cross-section. There were players there that had been disqualified. There were players there that had not been disqualified.
Mm.
There were members of the 2000 Premiership team. There were members of the coaching panel of the 2000 Premiership team, including the biggest one of all. There were a number of staff. So there's about 20 players in the room.
So Sheets was there.
And my main concern was the blokes that I'd known since they were 17 when they first came to
the club. How were they? What were they like? What was
Well, the two main concerns to me in the room were fit that mould were, and I can tell you who they were. They were Stanton and Dyson, who have known, who came to our club as 17-year-olds.
Yep.
And have been wonderful players and wonderful servants for the club. And I actually got the opportunity to, because I know them and I, you know, this father thing and parents and all that sort of thing, I asked them what I wanted to ask. And one of them, I said, what did you take?
Hmm.
And he said to me, I'm pretty confident that if I'd fought, and this is goes to a little bit sensitive, I'm pretty, very confident that if I fought this by myself,
yep,
I'm home free. So what we've got, this wonderful collective of players that everyone has admired for sticking together, working tough together and going, surviving together or going down together. Mm-hmm. But as we've read in some of the documentation, that has meant that they've been stamped together.
Mm-hmm.
So my belief is that everyone has a different story.
But the bottom line is, and the common point they've arrived at is, whether they're still at the AFL or at another club or have moved on outside the AFL system.
Well, you look at Ricky, right?
For Ricky example, Dyson,
My concern, the 12, whatever they do, whether they sue the club, whether they take the free agency and said, right, I'm going, which they're all entitled to do, mm-hmm. but the focus already is coming on the 12. And I'm glad to see that Xavier Campbell has already, this is through social media, I don't mm-hmm. know whether it's official, have already extended their contract for a year. You look at Stanton. Only offered one year.
Yeah.
A poor decision from what I watch, right? So technically, career finished, bang. But they've extended their contracts, which is good. Ricky Dyson, coaching Bundoora, captain coach, had to put his business on hold to pursue a coaching career. Can't go near them.
Yeah.
Can't write out a weights program. Can't do anything. And people will say, well, you know, what responsibility do they take?
Well,
And this is what they do have responsible for, right? Every meeting I've ever been to, when the racial people come, all that about discrimination, or the first thing they say, and this is not excusing the players, because they know, boys, I'm going to talk to you today about drugs, whether it's Peter Harcourt or Hugh Stewart, you know, they say, you are responsible for what goes in your body. Opening statement, rule. Right?
Yep.
The other thing is, if in any doubt, if you go to the chemist, I've got a cold, say to your missus, pick up some Codral for me, I'm feeling off, you must ring the club doctor and say, my wife brought home some Codral or some Sudafed, I'm feeling like a pack of shit, I've got to go and lay down, can I take this? That will be documented by Doc Reed. It will be signed off and he will say, you can take that or you can't. And the other thing is, any injections must be administered by qualified medical staff. Not some gangster that wants to hoodwink people for his own benefit and for his own profile, that takes young men. And this is where, as a parent, I can't understand why the parents didn't hit the tape. What did you do today, son? Come home for two. What did you do today, Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a bit strange. We all got bundled across to this clinic and Dank or whatever has put three injections in my ass.
What would you do to him if you could, Shaw? If he was here now and it's just you and her and you one of your boys, and you're obviously extremely close to a number of the blokes who live through this anyway, what would you demand from him? What would you say to him?
Well, he's promised, you know, he's grandstanded. I will clear the players. I will do that. So a bit like the herd questions that still remain unanswered for me, clear them. Clear them.
Yeah.
I have evidence. Clear them. Right?
He can't, can he? Because he obviously doesn't know. He doesn't have the evidence.
He knows. Surely. He knows what that needle went into that vial. He knows. And he's made no effort, in my opinion, to support what he wants to do. So, but I want to make that very clear about the players.
Yeah,
and
of course.
They know that, and they wouldn't be, not that it worries me, they wouldn't be upset by me. Remember, I didn't mean to racially dim. I'm not a racist.
Not racist.
I didn't mean to do that. But the person that you said it to believes it. You are in trouble, right? I was only flirting with that girl when I touched her on the bum.
Yep.
We're only having a bit of fun. No. She saw that differently. You are responsible.
Yep. Where do you sit with James Hurd right now? Time's on the flies. It's always going to be.
Yeah, I know. I needed more answers. Mm. But the bottom line is, right?
Yep.
He is the son of Essendon. And if he you ask about what I would say to Dank if he walked in here, well, what I would say to Hurd now, after, complete, going forward, is there anything you need?
Really? You'd still put your hand out? And
no, I'm not back Hurd cult.
Yep.
I'm not that Andy.
Yep.
Make that very, very clear.
Oh, I think Essendon people...
I do not see him with the rose-coloured glasses. He has a lot to answer for. Mm. He is the leader. He's always been a leader. And he's a club coach. And while I agree with Lindsay Tanner, right, that our aim should be at the CEO Robson, and it should be at Corcoran, and it should be at Bomber, and it should be at Hurd. It's still, and it should be at Reedy to an extent.
Yep.
It is a collective blame. I'm happy to go along those lines. So, but it's the same with Hurd. I will be proactive through the Players Association, through our association, the Essendon Football Club Past Players Association. They have written to the past players. Have you got any ideas how to help? So I've written a lengthy document back to Barry Capuano.
Yep.
This is how I would like to help. And, of course, the current team, led by John Worsfold, and he has, so that is
there.
My...
Yep.
It's not a case of forgiving or forgetting. You know, so...
You've got to move on.
Anyway, I know you've got a program to run. But
you'll get asked more about this because clearly you're feeling it and it's hurt you. And
We were always told, I'm sorry, we're always told one thing, right? And I was told by Eppers and McKenzie and these blokes, look after my club. And these blokes were coached by Reynolds and Coleman.
Yeah, yep.
And so when Remanaskis and McVeigh and that came to the club, me and Harves grabbed them and took them in the back room and said, son, do you know how lucky you I tell you what, if you ever, you know,
this
is young Rammer and all that, and they thrived. He got a bit carried, a little story on that, little Rammer got a bit carried away. He's confident. He's not arrogant, but he's cocky and bounces around.
Yep.
And me and Harve set up Hardwick. Next time he comes out of that pack at match practice, sit him on his ass. And I love these kids. I love them.
And that's
I want to help them. And
good. Well, you're a good man.
I'm shattered.
No, obviously you are. And the footy club's got to rebuild, and they could do a whole lot worse than taking you up on your offer. Thanks for coming in and touching the surface with
us. Good luck with the program, mate.
Thanks, Shorey.